speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
You remember in 1 Peter 4:11, do you not, that Peter said, "Yet if any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as of the strength which God supplied, that in all things God may be glorified." In 1 John 4, beginning verse 1, reading through verse 6, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit or teacher, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now these verses, of course, by the beloved John, exhort us not to take every teaching that comes along or every teacher, because they must preach and teach according to the will of God. And you can know the difference in those who are following the authority of Christ and those who are not. If they don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, for instance, they do not believe those signs and wonders which he did to prove he was the Son of God. In John 20, 30 and 31, he says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the sight of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that ye may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name." We must confess the name of the Son of God, or we're not belonging to God as we should. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him shall I deny before my Father which is in heaven." You know, oftentimes we hear people say, "I want a red letter testament because I want to know what the words of the Lord are." Well, let me exhort you this morning to understand something. In Luke 10:16, Jesus said to the apostles, "He that heareth you heareth me, and he that rejecteth you rejecteth me, and he that rejecteth me rejecteth him that sent me." That means, very simply, that all of the New Testament truth that is written by the apostles are the words of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, "If any man thinketh himself to be spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Now, we must be careful that we only accept the commandments of the Lord. You remember Paul's words in Galatians 1:6? "I marvel," he said, "that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we are an angel from heaven even, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed." There are many messages in the world, many doctrines of men, and these differ from the doctrine of Christ. And do you know, my friends, I, without hesitation, would suggest to you that these doctrines are false. Now, many people don't want me to do that. They say, "Now, you ought to be kind and you ought to be gentle." Well, I intend to be kind and I intend to be gentle. But false doctrine is false doctrine. Anything that is opposite to what the Lord has taught makes a different religion from the Lord. You know, religion has always been taught from the beginning. And what you do in religious matters is because that's what you've been taught. Now, if you haven't been taught according to the authority of Christ, you're going to have a different doctrine from what Christ taught. Let me again reiterate the commission given by Matthew's account, where he says, "All authority has been given unto me," Matthew 28:18, "in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you." And lo, I will be with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Now, what if we teach something that some other man says beside the Lord? What if we add a book that man has written for his creed? Or man has written for his additional book to the Bible? Well, it's wrong, isn't it? It's false. You know, there are many ways and religions then in the world today. The exact number of them varies, I suppose, according to the particular source which you look at. But there are hundreds of distinct, differing religious groups. And many people say, that's wonderful. The Lord says, that's wrong. The Lord says, I pray not for these only, but also for them that shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, Father, as thou art in me and I in thee, that there may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Well, one teaches that you must do this. Another teaches that you do not. How are we going to settle that matter? Is it not by the word of God that we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, as John said in 1 John 4:6? One says, do this and be saved. Another claims, you must do this or that. You see, confusion reigns everywhere. It's little wonder, my friends, that the world views religion with skeptical eyes, isn't it? They're perplexed. They're overwhelmed. They're ready to place it all in the category of foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul said, the word of the cross. That is what they preached. The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, he said, seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, indeed, he's talking about not about foolish preaching, but he's talking about those who consider the preaching of Christ and his doctrine as foolishness in the world. Almost 2,000 years ago, my friends, by divine inspiration, Paul and other inspired writers warned of Satan and his evil ways. Many people ignore those warnings. But God said through this writer to beware and be aware of damnable heresies, doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, workers that were evil, wolves in sheep's clothing, deceivers. Now, should we ignore the Lord's words and go in our own direction and say, well, now, there's nothing to fear, there's no problem? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also, transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now is there any doubt about what their end shall be? No, none at all. It'll be according to their works, and their works will cause them, as it did Judas, to go to their own place. What a sad thing to think that many people are going to be lost, yea, many religious people. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in thy name? In thy name cast out demons, in thy name do many wonderful works. But then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. We need to be sure that our religion matches the Lord's teaching, not only in the plan of obedience, but also in the plan of worship. Do we think it nothing to add to the Lord's table, which he has given us for the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine? Do you believe that would be all right to add something to that? Many people do. But my friends, the Lord made that exclusion there by the very things he commanded. The same thing is true with singing. When he says, sing and make melody in your hearts unto the Lord, some think it nothing to add an instrument of music, maybe many instruments of music, because they're looking with their own physical eyes instead of their spiritual eyes at the Lord's teaching. Paul warned that Satan had ministering spirits who were false, deceitful teachers, who appear as ministers of righteousness, even apostles of Christ. Do you know of any today who claim to be apostles of Christ? Oh, I do, and you do too, don't you? Simon Peter defines Satan as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour in 1 Peter 5:8. Do you suppose we need to be warned about that? Do you suppose we need to be watchful and on guard against Satan devouring us? How would he do so, if not by false teaching? The devil is also called the wicked one in Matthew 13:19. He's called the father of lies, John 8:44. And in John 14:30, he's called the prince of this world, because the world exalts him, and he is the prince of the world. But my friends, the world is not going to be saved. John said those of the world will be lost, but those of God who follow the teaching of God, they will be saved. And so, understanding these facts about the one gospel, we really find important teaching here, don't we? Satan desires to destroy all whom he possibly can reach and influence. And if he does not already control your life, he wants you. He ensnares some with the temptations of the world, such as John mentions in 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He catches many in that. He entraps and destroys many by teaching half-truths also. He has a little truth, but a lot of error. You know, most denominations are that way. They have some truth in them, but they also have some error. They put out partial facts, distorted scriptures, and many other things that are not altogether in harmony with the teachings of Christ. Well, the devil makes things seem right, doesn't he? And even pleasing, as if we were to please ourselves instead of pleasing God. He makes one think they're doing the will of the Father even, when really they're not. He often teaches a little truth, makes it possible for some to do some good and worship a little in this world, and sometimes even to some degree as the Bible instructs. He helps others to feel good about themselves, even though they're wrong, and they don't want to feel guilt. And thereby he convinces them that they are obedient and all right. The devil, in the form of a serpent, you know, convinced Eve to eat the forbidden fruit in Genesis 2. She could have claimed that she merely wanted to be like Jehovah and have the mind that she would know all things. She sinned against God and brought physical death upon the world. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10:1-2 went to offer worship unto God, but they didn't offer the fire that Jehovah God commanded them. They didn't think it mattered about the strange fire, that which was not authorized by God. Well, of course, you know that they died in their sin. They could have argued that they did many things right. And besides, God had not said not to use that kind of fire. On and on, the examples could be given, proving that God demands of you and me full and complete obedience to his every word. Satan will twist, he will manipulate, he will distort and deceitfully change God's word into whatever form that may be necessary to convince man he can obey God and still be okay. If you have your Bible handy, turn to Galatians 6. There, beginning in verse 7, Paul wrote, "God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Isn't that clear? We are not to tell ourselves a lie, that we can do our own thing and still please the Father, that we can go our own way and do what we want to in worship even, or in any other area of work in the Lord's kingdom, and still be all right not obeying God. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Let us each then fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Ecclesiastes 12:13.